Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
It's kind of what we do.
That's our thing. That's our steez.
Is there what would you call it? A hook? Would you call it a hook?
A loop-de-loop?
I think so.
Something to make it things exciting for the listeners.
Absolutely. We're off to a great start with this bit, by
there
the way.
Is. I know a lot about Alex Jones, and you don't.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And today's added twist is that I'm pretty hungover.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm in rough shape.
Somehow, I mean, you're not that much older than I am, but I'm not hungover at all.
I've done so much damage to myself over the years.
That's possible.
It's a complete disaster.
I'm pristine.
I made a mistake. We went out last night, you and I, and your lady friend, and we had some drinks and played Scrabble, and I kicked your guys' asses.
You kicked my ass for sure.
And, you know, the celebrating spirit got into me. And so after we split ways, I kept drinking some beers, hung out with my roommate throughout the night and watched dunk videos.
Videos of dudes dunking.
Yeah.
All right. You are not a sports fan by trade.
No, but I love a dunk.
Everybody loves a good dunk.
I also was a huge basketball fan when I was younger.
Oh, okay.
So it harkens back to a younger time when I loved John Starks, Dominique Wilkins.
One of those guys is not a big dunker.
Starks dunked on Jordan.
Starks did dunk on Jordan. Not a big dunker, though.
Anybody who just dunked on Jordan is a big dunker in my book.
That's a fair point.
So we watched a bunch of these dunk videos.
It's so strange to hear you say that. So I'm watching some dunk videos.
I am here to make a very serious report that has nothing to do with Alex Jones, but the world needs to know about.
Okay.
So the 1991 dunk contest.
All right. There we go. Now it begins. Now, was this the one when Jordan leapt from the free throw line?
No, I believe that was that was another year. I can't remember which one that was.
That would have been 89 or 90, right?
I think it was even earlier than that. It might have been 88. It's irrelevant.
No, we need to get into this.
1990.
I know a lot about basketball.
I don't know anything about basketball. 1991 was the year that the finals in the dunk contest were Sean Kemp and D. Brown.
That is such a disappointing dunk contest final.
Right. D. Brown ends up winning by putting his hand in
the corner of his
elbow.
He does the blind. Yeah. He does the blind dunk.
Which is great. It's fine.
It's fantastic.
The rest of D. Brown's work, subpar. He didn't belong in those finals to begin with.
Look, as much as I love a good Sean Kemp,
he's great.
Jumping, not his forte.
The entirety of all the dunks from the 1991 dunk contest are available on YouTube. You can go find them. And I'm going to...
At knowledgefight.com, you can click support the show, and we will give you all of the 91 dunk contest finals.
Dunk! here's what I have to say.
Yeah.
We're a show about conspiracies, by and large.
How is this going to land? You're taking off, my friend. I don't know how this is going to land.
Rex Chapman from the Charlotte Hornets was nasty on those dunks. He was sick. He pitched the ball to himself from behind the back, like over the shoulder, caught it and dunked. It was madness what Rex Chapman was doing out there. Didn't make the finals.
So you think this is an anti-Charlotte Hornets kind of situation?
I think the Charlotte Hornets were too young of a team at that time. It was a expansion franchise.
Right, absolutely.
I believe that Rex Chapman is a goofy-looking, crew-cutted white guy.
Rex Chapman is a goofy fucking dude.
Yeah, I think that they felt like, Sean Kemp's going to win this thing. Let's bring D. Brown in for novelty because he's tiny. I don't know. I think the fix was in because Rex Chapman was a menace on that.
So let me just throw this out there. Are you pitching an anti-white narrative right now? Is this what you're doing right now?
It might be.
Now, as I've said before, I am a soft yes on white genocide now, so I fully support Rex Chapman being nowhere near a dunk contest.
I don't know if race necessarily comes into it. I'm not 100% making that argument, but I am saying... I'm saying that there was something going on, and it was not in Rex Chapman's favor.
Yes.
And that doesn't make sense, because if you look at those dunks, on paper, those were finals dunks.
Let me tell you something. Stern would never allow a white dude into the dunk contest finals.
Very well,
maybe. This is just a true fact.
Yeah. You can't have Detlef Schrempf and,
absolutely
and Rex
not.
Chapman in the finals.
I'm telling you something, though. Schrempf, he could dunk.
Yeah, good. I mean,
he would do two hands.
Undoubtedly.
Every time.
So anyway, that's I needed to get that off my chest. There Rex Chapman was sick in 91.
The only and last time anyone has ever said that.
I was surprised.
Yeah, no, frankly. Absolutely.
Because as the dunk contest started, it was like, all right, Kenny Smith is here. I remember that dude. What's Rex Chapman doing here? And then out of nowhere, busts some crazy dunk. I'm like, oh, I was sleeping on Rex Chapman. This guy is great.
All right, fair. That's like saying, like, Rex Chapman was a great dunker is like saying Christian Laettner was integral to the Dream Team. Like, that is, no.
I
know a lot about basketball, Dan.
I don't know anything about it.
I know a lot.
So, anyway, let's move along. I bring this up because it was a delightful thing. Because
that was back when they had Muggsy Bogues on the Charlotte Hornets, my friend.
Yeah. And Grandma Ma.
Yeah, ooh, there we go.
You add Rex Chapman to that threesome. Like that.
That's your first super team, my friend. That's your first one.
It is. And who knew that Rex Chapman was so amazing?
See, now we need Alex Jones clips of him talking about basketball.
Or
that's
Rex Chapman.
If Rex Chapman ever goes on Kerry Cassidy's show, believe me, that's the most important thing we're going to ever do.
Well, speaking of which, I didn't want to talk about Alex Jones today.
Oh, no! Are we doing it?
We've got a Project Camelot episode.
Fuck yes!
To start off the week here on your Monday episode.
Wonderful.
So I'd like to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Julia, sent me along a link to this episode of Project Camelot because I don't watch it all the time.
Of course not.
And thank God she did because holy shit.
All right.
There's a lot of nonsense going on in Project Camelot world right now. But also before we do that, it's important for me to say this because we've referenced this. That Kerry Cassidy is not a sweet old lady as we have sort of depicted her.
Unfortunately.
She is actually, in fact, a bit of an anti-Semite.
That's not the way I wanted that to go.
And this was brought to my attention by our listener Keegan, and I appreciate him dropping that along. And here is a clip to back that up.
Oh, no.
In fact, my harassers tend to be Zionists.
This is Robert David Steele as a guest.
Glad we're cross-pollinating.
Right.
Rather than the intelligence community. And I distinguish between anti-Zionism, which is everyone's responsibility, and anti-Semitism, which is absolutely despicable and under no circumstances should be tolerated by anyone. We have 9 million loyal, decent American Jews in the United States of America, and every single one of them is a patriot and not part of the problem.
Okay. Well, that's quite a blanket statement, but let it pass for the moment because of your enthusiasm for, the Jewish race, call it what you will. Although some people say it's a religion, not a race.
I've actually written something very interesting online about the Holocaust and Zionism and these myths, and I won't go into it now.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's soft anti-Semitism, would say. But it is.
There's nothing defensible there, but it's not egregious. It's not horrific just yet.
It's soft, but it's there.
It's absolutely there. You are not wrong. Just the way she wanted to push back against, there are 9 million loyal Jews in America. And she was like, and that's not a good response to that.
Exactly. You should just be like, great.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Exactly.
So Robert,
or even like, no, I think it's more like 8.5 million. The census, you know, a lot of people are losing religion these days.
Sure.
Yeah.
All because of REM.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
that's me in the corner.
Robert David Steele says that he has written something interesting about Jews and the Holocaust.
I don't want to hear it.
He doesn't want to get into it on Kerry Cassidy's show. I will.
Oh, no.
So I read it. It's Robert David Steele, The Holocaust, Zionism, and AIPAC, Guilt by Association. Uh-oh.
Wait. Are you saying that Zionism and AIPAC, in his eyes, are guilty of the Holocaust?
Uh-huh. I have received both praise and pushback for how I answered a question about the Holocaust. He was on another show he's referencing here. He was asked about the Holocaust, and he responded, "It's complicated."
That's not a response.
Not great.
It's so, not a response.
I've received both praise and pushback for how I answered. The time has come to demystify the Holocaust, to carefully distinguish between anti-Zionism, which is everybody's duty, and anti-Semitism, which is reprehensible, and to put an end to the grip that American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, an agent of a foreign power by any definition of the term, has on Congress. Here's my personal take on both the history and the present. Bullet point one. The Holocaust happened. Good.
We're off to a good start. No, I'm sure that immediately following that, he says, and everything that we've learned from history is accurate, and perhaps maybe racism towards the Jews is not a good idea.
Millions died. However, there are several lies by omission that Zionists celebrate, and these need to be challenged.
Oh, boy.
Most of those who died did not die from gassings, but rather from Allied bombing, starvation, and typhus. This includes those in prison camps, most of who died of starvation and typhus, not gassing. Although, a lot of people did die from gassing, buddy.
Yeah, I feel like I don't need the specifics and how they died.
A little bit.
Considering how it was just the Holocaust that killed them.
Right, and then pointing out Allied bombings killed most of them in the camp. That's not true.
Not a great start.
It's also not, that's not accurate.
Absolutely not.
Then he gets into the, a lot of other non-Jews died in the Holocaust, and it's disrespectful to their deaths to make it all about the Jews. Like, okay, boy.
I mean, the...
Okay, buddy.
The Roma people were also, targeted for, extermination by Hitler's Jews.
Yeah.
Or, not Hitler's Jews. By Hitler's, army and ideology.
Uh-huh.
So that's not, we're not into horrific territory. He's minimizing it.
Very much.
He's minimizing it.
Yes.
But this is, I wouldn't go after this guy first, is my point. We got way bigger fish to fry.
We do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's in our, like right in front of
that's
us.
True.
So
that's true.
So then he goes on, his next bullet point is basically that there's tons of other genocides that have happened in the world, and like, hey, good on you. Good point.
That's a whataboutism. I'm not a fan of it.
The refusal of the Zionists to honor other genocides and mass murders, ranging toward 40 to 70 million in just one instance, is itself despicable. Great. Then his last bullet point in terms of this this one is that we genocided the Native Americans, and that's true, and this is said by some to have inspired Hitler against the Jews. No one's hands are clean in this matter. Fair enough.
That's a fair point.
Right.
I mean, many of the, like, the story has been told to very few people in your high school, but many of the ideas that Hitler worked off of were originally
race,
put forward
laws
by
and what have you,
by Americans.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then,
which is not to say America caused the Holocaust. That's a very different. America did their own genocide.
We had a peace.
Yeah.
So then he goes on to talk about how Zionists are responsible for people dying in the Holocaust.
That's not the way to go.
There is clear evidence that most Jews who died in Germany did not have to die.
Stop. Period.
Uh-huh.
You could have just said, that's a whole sentence.
Who ultimately was responsible for the suffering of the Jews in labor camps? It was the elite Zionist Jews themselves. This goes back to the narrative that they didn't pay ransoms to get everybody out.
Yeah, now we're into... You're on the list, my friend. Time to fry your bitch ass.
Here's his next bullet point. Zionism is a scam, and the separation of the Jewish race from the Palestinians, they share the same three DNA ancestors, is a distortion of reality.
Don't bring in DNA in
on
that
a Holocaust
regard.
Scale. So yeah, okay. Cool.
Look, I in some way, you know, AIPAC, they supported Trump. They're not great.
Mm.
Netanyahu is a monster. He is a fucking horrific human being. Israel is an apartheid state. These are true things. But also, let's leave the Holocaust out of discussing those things.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps let it inform why it is people go so far to the right. There are a lot of complicated situations with Israel. And maybe reducing it to Zionism versus anti-Zionism is not the way to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So... Look, what I'm saying here is that Robert David Steele is At least a Holocaust minimizer.
Yeah.
At least a revisionist in many ways.
Absolutely.
You know, people who are in that camp swing together. And so it's further evidence that we've got some problems with Carrie Cassidy.
Right.
Like her hands are not clean in this matter.
Absolutely not. It's concerning that there's so many of those people who act almost like gateways into harder anti-Semitism.
Of course.
You know? I'm anti-Zionist, and that's everybody's responsibility, and it's a very short walk from there to, well, yeah, all Jews are ultimately Zionists, and you're like, no!
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, well, I think Robert David Steele may have been a guest on David Duke's show. So anyway,
that's not great.
Let's get to business.
I don't like it.
Let's get to business.
Way to bring us down in the forefront of a Project Camelot episode, Dan.
So we've spent most of our time in the Project Camelot trenches, looking at how stupid Carrie Cassidy is, believing the lies of murder accessory Mark Richards,
right?
About the Reptoids and the
Raptors,
the Raptor beings,
absolutely a delight.
We've also learned that in Vietnam, people were fighting spiders or something like that. Maybe it was beetles.
The
spider leadership was in effect,
of course.
Today, what we're going to be looking at is a video where Carrie Cassidy sits down. And just breaking down the news, baby.
She's just breaking down regular topics.
And this came out about a week ago or so. And there's a lot of news in the world.
And
her take on stuff is not good.
Oh, boy.
So let's just jump in how she begins the video.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. This is Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot.
And, hi, Carrie.
Well, I've got a strange goings on today.
No shit. Anyway,
does she wake up every morning saying that?
We've got some strange goings on.
I can feel a strange going on right now.
I feel like if you ever refer to things as goings on, there's a good chance.
There's a good
strange chance. It's the same thing with like bedfellows.
Right.
Like you never said unstrange. These are very normal bedfellows.
Yeah, you and I are very strange bedfellows.
Perhaps.
And yet.
Because you're so bad at Scrabble and I'm awesome.
All right.
Anyway.
Let me remind you, we're 1-1, okay?
But I told you last night.
I know. You
I never
tried
lose
to,
twice.
Drunkenly, you tried to explain that there is a game theory behind how you will never lose to me again.
Well, but I understand your strategy much better than I did the first time.
I don't have a strategy.
You do. You're out for
All
points.
Right. All right. I'm out for points. Okay.
All right. Let's get to business.
I was going to be having a conversation with Robert David Steele, who initiated it with me. However, he then found out he is not supposed to cover anything to do with space.
That's going
to
be
and as our topics are going to obviously cover things in space, around space,
obviously,
and from space, he is not going to be able to join us after all.
I mean, technically,
so
we are all
I'm here
space.
On my own.
Yeah, I mean, that it's kind of every
thing
in the world.
All things.
Yeah, and you consider we're in space right now.
Yeah, she is not aware of that.
Robert.
Do you know why we're not in space right now?
What is that?
Protective coating.
Jew shield.
Oh, boy. I did not like the way you said
Robert
that.
Robert David Steele would say.
Not like that.
That's what he calls the atmosphere. So... He was supposed to be there. Yeah. He was supposed to be there, but he doesn't have clearance to talk about these things. Cause
I don't understand.
Robert David Steele is one of these guys. They pop up a lot on Alex Jones's show who are pretending that they have handlers and that they work for the CIA and shit like that.
All right.
So whenever they don't want to get into a narrative, I assume this is what they're doing. It's like, I don't want to talk more about these Mars bases. People are clowning on me.
Right.
I don't want to do it. So you pretend that the higher ups have said, it's too hot. You can't talk about that anymore.
I will put forth this possibility though.
Please don't let your possibility be that he's actually working for the CIA. He's a limited hangout.
No. It is more like maybe he was like, I got to cancel. I got another thing.
Right.
And Carrie can't be like, Robert canceled because it has to be a conspiracy. So it's
true.
Like, he's not allowed to come on the show today.
Right. Yeah, that's possible. He had to pick up the kids from soccer or something
exactly.
like that. Yeah, the old ex-wife didn't let him off the chain. So although he's not in studio, we do get a celebrity appearance. Not an actual celebrity appearance.
Of course.
Carrie brings up a celebrity. So let's jump.
Turns out Will Smith is a raptor.
To start off with, obviously, there's been a recent disclosure announcement by Tom DeLonge. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that news.
Yeah, that's me.
I suggest you just do a search under his last name. He's a member of a band. And the band is called, I think it's called Blink 180, but don't quote me on that.
Close.
I actually don't have the name of this band in front of me.
Of course!
And
To quote one of their contemporaries, Blink-182's contemporaries, Millen Collin, that was close but no cigar.
Of course she doesn't know who Blink-182
is. But that's fair.
I know, but it's still somehow funny.
It is funny. Especially since Tom DeLonge has been talking about aliens and space for years.
He
has been on this tip for a very long time.
You know what's crazy?
What's that?
Not authorized to talk about Earth.
I know he's not. He's also not authorized to talk about growing up anymore.
Hey, absolutely not.
He's not in Blink-182 anymore. Uh-uh. I think they're not around anymore, right? Isn't that?
Who cares?
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been around, period.
So he's pushing for disclosure, and he's trying to get alien, truth. Pushed out into
A Blink-182 dude is like,
Tom DeLonge,
we need to know more about aliens. Mm-hmm. So I am calling upon the government to release alien shit.
And he started to work with some people who, Carrie Cassidy is going to bring up here.
Okay.
And she thinks they're very credible. And I have news for her. They're not.
Oh boy.
And I don't know the music. So, I apologize for that. He has gotten very involved in this whole disclosure story, and so he is now banding up with a couple of, well.
Get ready for one of my favorite names that I have ever heard on this show.
All right.
Hold on. Wait for your question.
Okay.
With several sort of heavy hitters, you might say.
You might.
And they're doing something called To the Stars, and this is an organization he's starting apparently, in order to try to cover what's going on the planet to do with developing free energy, really, I would say, is maybe their big focus.
They've got an
illustrious scientist who is hold on one second, because I've got a whole list of stuff here for who's involved, but it's Hal Pudoff is one of the main people involved. And I apologize. I'm going to have to be searching around while I'm talking here because I've got information in a lot of different places. There's a Jim Semivan who's come forward and has supposedly been working for the CIA. Although Dan Smith, who is a
very normal
commentator and a person who is somewhat read in to some degree on the secret space program by way of his friend Ron Pandolfi, is contesting whether or not Jim Semivan is indeed who he says he is.
It's Jim Semivan.
Oh man, you know this supports. This supports the theory of nominative determinism.
Maybe.
Where if you get named something, look, you gotta live with that.
Or if that's like his secret agent name.
Right.
I am Jim Semivan. My mom was Alicia Autobus.
I get people where they need to go.
Yeah.
Especially if they are small families.
So Jim
Semivan and his brother, John Station Wagon.
I can barely say his name without laughing. It's delightful. It's as good as Rex Chapman dunking to me, quite frankly. Semivan, my ass.
Semivan.
It's so fake.
Jim Semivan.
So he's working with Tom DeLonge, although...
And his sister, might be, Donna Woodplating.
Sure, sure. Yep. He might not be who he claims to be. There are problems in the team!
Yes. Already we discover some issues.
I love the narrative. I love it. I can't get enough of that narrative. It's like we have the guy from Blink-182
yep.
putting together a super team of scientists
right.
and CIA agents, but
right.
one of them who has a silly name might be an imposter.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Somebody has to infiltrate this super team. They can't discover real facts.
No, and actually she's
And
got-
nothing is more of a raptor name than Jim Semivan.
That could be. That is a really good theory.
Exactly.
So also, she mentioned that Hal Pudoff is involved.
Yeah, that was my favorite name.
Hal Pudoff is in play, guys.
Hal Pudoff.
So do you want to know about him?
Yes, I do.
He is a PhD in electrical engineering.
Real PhD or like a Saigon PhD?
From everything I can tell, he is a real PhD.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't call the school. Okay. I'll tell you that much.
You should have done that.
So he got involved, in like some weird shit throughout his life.
Uh-huh.
And his credibility is a little
not
dicey.
Not great.
So in the 70s, and 80s, he was part of this, CIA and, DIA funded program, that were trying to investigate paranormal activity and like abilities that people have. So they did a study on people like Uri Geller, including Uri Geller.
Oh, boy.
And
you know he can't really bend spoons, guys.
Well, it turns out that Pudoff and Russell Targ, who was his associate.
Where do these people fucking come from?
Raptorland.
That's apparently true.
So these two guys who were the researchers, they became convinced Geller had genuine psychic powers. However... Geller was using sleight of hand tricks.
Yeah.
So he was working for the CIA and was like, oh, yeah, this guy's legit. When he's doing magic, he's doing close-up magic.
Yeah, no,
basically.
Of course.
So he's dumb. He's a dumb guy.
Very much.
He also is trying to work towards zero-point energy, which most people believe, at least at this point, is pseudoscience.
Of course.
The stuff that's being explored.
That's like cold fusion.
Uh-huh.
Come on, guys.
So he had some zero-point energy, electromagnetic field, low-energy nuclear reactions. He's, like, working on all this stuff with his company called Earth Tech International.
And Uri Geller.
Uh-huh. Uri Geller is in play.
He's a huge zero-point energy guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Pudoff and Earth Tech were granted U.S. patent 5,845,220 in 1998 after 5 years of delay. The case of getting him this patent... even though it's not real.
It's magic.
The case is used for educational purposes in patent law as an example of a valid patent where, quote, the lesson of the Pudoff patent is that in a world where both types of patents are more and more common, even a competent examiner may fail to distinguish innovation from pseudoscience. So.
That's a good case. That's a good case to investigate.
He's used.
Right.
As an example of, like, I mean, he's full of shit, but you
They call it Pudoff's Law.
You give him a patent anyway.
Yeah.
Because whatever.
Because who cares?
Yeah. So.
Patent doesn't mean that you actually have to do anything. You can patent, like, the thought of having a good day.
Right. So Pudoff, is a guy who wrote for the CIA that Uri Geller was legit.
Right.
And as a patent that is used as an example of bullshit patents in educational
now,
circles.
If
and
he
then
has a PhD,
we got Semivan.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. If he's a PhD in electrical engineering, does he do any electrical engineering?
I think he did for a bit, but then, he worked with and invented turnable lasers and electron beam devices in the 1960s.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do those actually work or are they magic too?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
So we're talking about a kind of Jack Parsons character here who can make something really cool, but also sex magic is real.
Right. But I think his version of crazy is a little worse.
Yeah. Well,
generally speaking,
I don't know. Jack Parsons helped give us Scientology, so that's not great.
Also, this guy, Pudoff, was involved with Scientology for a little bit.
Of course he was. So why did I not guess that?
Yeah. So, I love the players. We got the lead singer of Blink 182, Jim Semivan, and, Hal Pudoff, who, is a disaster, and also Semivan might be not a real person.
He might actually also have been in Blink 182.
It's possible that it's Mark Hoppus in disguise. Unclear. So the good news is that for once.
What's the good news?
For once in her life, Carrie Cassidy is a little bit suspicious.
She's a little skeptical. That's right. Yeah. That's what she was doing.
For the first time ever. And I think it's because she's
It's because she doesn't know who Blink 182 is.
No, it's because she's petty. He's getting a lot of attention and she's not.
Oh, okay.
She thinks that she knows all the truth. Right. And he is just some stupid lead singer of a band coming in.
Right.
Johnny come lately. I've been studying nonsense for years.
Right. Maybe she does know who Blink 182 is.
Probably does.
And then she was like, Blink 180, I don't know.
Yeah. So here we go.
Who even knows who those guys are?
Here is her.
And then she starts singing All the Small Things.
Uh-huh. Here is Carrie laying out her feelings about this investigation.
Okay.
They're choosing one UFO encounter out of obviously millions and pretending or acting as though this is an unidentified flying object. And I have to tell you that the secret space program, and as a result, the people that are on this panel, I have to give them credit to be at least knowledgeable about the secret space program. And I can tell you that they know exactly, most likely, what kind of craft it was, where it comes from, and the occupants. So it's not really a UFO. It's not really an unidentified aerial threat as Alessandro, I guess, however you say his name, Alessandro, is...
He's the security guy for
Mark Hoppus's investigation.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, of course.
Is claiming on that video. So it's unfortunate, but you have a disclosure with lies right out the gate.
Interesting. I wonder...
I don't know how to deal with... I don't know how to deal with Carrie saying that somebody is lying to her.
It's wild.
I can't understand this.
It doesn't make sense.
What?
Well, it's, you know why?
It doesn't,
you know
make,
why it doesn't
make
sense?
Internal sense to the world we're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly, because that means that that part of her brain is there.
It is.
That's so confusing to me because it's like, wait, you're able to think that something's a lie? Hey. How do you not exercise that part of your brain when you go to this prison and talk to this dude who hangs out with raptors with this crazy lying to his
everybody
wife?
Has blind spots. Everybody has blind spots, Dan.
It turns out everything but Blink 182 is a blind spot for her.
Yes.
I think that's
fine in the world of music as well.
I'll be honest though, like I do think that it's right to question anything that Jim Semivan is involved in.
But murderer is fine.
Right, right. So anyway.
All right. Oh boy.
In this next clip, boy. I don't know how to tell you this. Carrie Cassidy is a lunatic. And it's just, this clip is just a deterioration of lunacy.
Okay.
So what is my premise here?
My premise
is that all of the news, every single thing you're hearing, all the false flags, the fires in Northern California, the Vegas happening, you name it, all is the result of a push by the ETs who are now coming forward, I believe, in not just one race, although the evidence I have is only about one race, which is the Reptoids. And that comes vis-a-vis Mark Richards.
Great.
However, the bottom line is that if you look at the news and you do not consider the ET side of it, you do not consider that our military is at war with various ET races.
Of course.
And as a matter of fact, has been for quite some time.
Naturally.
That there are dissension in the ranks. And that if you go back to the testimony of William Tompkins, you will see very quickly that the Nazis were, of course, helped by a race from Aldebaran, a race of reptilians as well. And that there were some Pleiadians who were helping, at least at the time of William Tompkins.
Let's
She's really not happy. She's really not giving mammals much credit. It's always reptiles, man.
Right, right.
Mammals are fine too. Yeah. How about a race of extraterrestrial marsupials, huh?
Or pinnipeds. Get some Alex Jones in here.
I like some spiders.
Sure.
That's great.
Well, spiders
Too
are
many
in play
reptiles.
In Vietnam, at
Too
least.
Too many reptiles. That's all I'm saying.
A lot of reptiles now.
I want some, is it just because we find, mammals to be cute?
Yes.
Is that why they can't, enslave us from the space?
100%. That's absolutely why historically there's been a distrust, an uneasy truce between
the
warm and the cold blooded.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that's why we personify all these, like, really scary things as kind of lizardy. I mean, look at Cthulhu. There's a lizardiness to him. Anyway.
He looks a little cute.
Yeah, good.
Hey, Elder One, you're a cutie.
If you did not weren't picking up all the pieces there, one of the things that she was saying is that the fires in California and Las Vegas are part of alien attacks.
Also, false flags?
Yeah, something or other.
Yeah.
Her narrative is muddy, I would say.
It's a little confused, perhaps?
Yeah, because later she says she sort of switches up what she's saying, and it's actually like weapons tests.
Oh, okay.
That.
All right.
But now it's like they're false flags and these aliens are trying to push for disclosure because we won't do it.
And there's multiple races.
Tons of them.
But she only knows about one.
She mostly knows about the
she
one.
She mostly knows about
we're
reptoids.
We're about to learn about
from,
another one.
From Richards.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have established that Richards is an unreliable narrator
and
the reptoids are the good guys.
In theory, I'm not ready to go that far.
All right.
But we're about to learn about another race of aliens.
I mean, raptors eat people. Anyways, just for chocolate. Anyways.
sort of contribution to the secret space aerospace program through Hughes Aerospace and,
Oh, that's why I paused it. I wanted to say that, like, I looked into William Tompkins a little bit, and I don't know enough about him.
Billy T?
I don't know enough to do a deep dive on him, but I will say that through looking at him and some of these other people who've come into our sphere because of Project Camelot, it turns out it's much easier than you'd think to say bullshit in front of Congress. Like, it turns out the congressional record is full of people saying crazy, stupid
shit.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Like the idea that alien races from Draco helped the Nazis make weather control.
Or that climate change isn't real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not space weapons. It's climate change making everything really dry in California and making these fires way worse.
Yeah, great guys.
Other NASA and during the Apollo landings, et cetera. So even back in those days, we were being helped by ETs. That means when I say ETs, races that some of which may reside inside the Earth, in inner Earth, as some people call it. And some may be in underground bases of sorts, ET underground bases, ET undersea bases. Some may, of those beings may consider Earth their home.
Or
and then, of course, the ones that have gone out to the various galaxies come from various galaxies. Of course, Draco being one of the more notorious.
Reptoids.
And, of course, the reptoids who are human-reptilian hybrids, and they are causing a great deal of problems here on Earth. They are backing certain governments and not others. And
Which ones?
Of course, were backing the Nazis back in the day.
Of course.
Yeah. Also, I mean, hey, fun. The human reptile chimeras get in there a little bit.
No. They're not chimeras.
They're hybrids.
They are hybrids. They are not chimeras.
Right. But it's similar. There's similarities to the narratives that we see in Alex. And, you know, Alex has had David Icke on. That's David Icke to a T.
Yeah.
So I just want to point those things out as we go along because there is much more overlap than Alex probably would like to admit.
Oh, of course. If he watched her show and actually listened to it and was like, I think she's on to something.
No, I think he'd have to be like, if he was alone, he'd be like, oh no.
Yeah.
But if he was with other people, he'd be like, I don't know what he would do. Anyway.
That'd be interesting.
He wasn't.
Before we go any further.
Yeah.
Quick question. Carrie Cassidy, how do we feel about ghosts?
Well, how does she feel about it or how do I feel about it vis-a-vis her?
No. Is she a ghost? First question.
I think she's a ghost.
Okay. Second question.
I'm so glad you brought up this question.
Second question, does she ever talk about ghosts? Does she believe in ghosts? Or is she like hard sci-fi and ghosts are fantasy?
Let me tell you this.
What direction are we going here?
Let me tell you this. Knowing literally nothing,
yeah.
I guarantee she believes in ghosts.
I don't know. Maybe she's a Heinlein here. Maybe she's just hard sci-fi all the way.
I guarantee she believes in ghosts.
Okay.
And it somehow has to do with reptiles.
All right. Reptoid ghosts?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do they haunt people? Is it different than a regular haunting?
Yeah, they haunt by protecting chocolate from raptor ghosts.
No wonder my chocolate keeps disappearing.
Mm-hmm. It's not that you're sleep eating it.
No.
So in this next clip...
it's raptor ghosts.
In this next clip, we get to hear a little bit more about Nazis.
Okay.
Of course, if you followed the work of Jim Mars and Joseph Farrell, you will...
These are both people who have been on Alex Jones's show.
Oh, boy.
You will know that the Fourth Reich is alive and well here in the United States and
Don't
being orchestrated as such.
Unfortunately.
And, of course, kudos to Jim Mars, who did pass on, but... contributed a great deal to this story that we have that goes far beyond what the people behind the scenes, understandably, of To the Stars, this organization started again by Tom DeLonge, and which is currently doing some disclosure
doing great
of
work.
A very,
doing
let's
the
say,
work, as they say,
complex kind. This is
It is pretty complex. The disclosure that he's trying to push through.
What is he trying to push through?
That aliens are here, and that's basically what he's been yelling about for years.
So is it just...
That's why Blink-182 doesn't exist anymore, because he just keeps screaming about aliens. It's a bigger priority for... It's like me doing stand-up. I can't do stand-up anymore. I gotta yell about Alex Jones.
True.
Alex Jones,
Or
is to me, as aliens are to Tom DeLonge.
Or has he actually been writing anti-raptor music this whole time, and the raptors finally took him down because they got to the other members of Blink-182?
I'm trying to think. The girl at the rock show was a raptor.
There we go.
Take off your pants and jacket. Raptors don't wear jackets.
You know what else? Bruce Springsteen?
Mm-hmm.
Reptoid.
What's my age again is because raptors age differently. They have to do... They have to do an equation
right.
to try and figure out how much am I in human years.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill you for chocolate. They're great.
Their number one single.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Seemed curious at the time. Made no sense.
Who propelled that to number one on the charts? The Raptors did.
People with names like Semi Van. Hidden Raptors. This shit is so stupid.
Oh man.
So this next
clip. Billboard Hot 100 Raptors. That's what.
In this next clip, we get to hear her say more about not trusting Tom DeLonge.
This is in part of necessity, one imagines, because I don't think they will have the blessing of the whole secret space program.
Of course not.
That means that they've got the Illuminati side, the side that is run by probably predominantly Satanists. And then the other side, which may be considered as the Bush cabal or Rockefeller contingent, whether and where the overlaps may happen, who are Satanists within those groups
right.
and who are just plain Nazis, or fascists, however you want to term them,
That's
is
good.
Unclear.
She's against
we
fascism.
Don't know those necessary divisions and alliances, but we do know that the secret space program is orchestrated in large part by individuals who are members of both those groups.
So Satanists and the Illuminati. This is Alex Jones shit. I mean, you just replace aliens with globalists.
Yeah.
And you're there. You're three quarters of the way there. And you know why? We'll get to why.
Right.
I will explain exactly why.
Right.
In this episode.
Does she believe Satan is real?
She must.
Because she's worried about Satanists. I mean, you can be worried about Satanists without actually believing that Satanists.
Can I ask you to put a pin in that question for a couple clips? Because
okay.
I think I can actually...
Okay.
I might be able to answer that.
You might
that.
Be able to get that one going?
I might in a way that...
I know Alex believes in Satan as a very literal being.
I
feel like Carrie would have to go space with it, though. Like,
I beg you to put a pin in it.
It's actually galactic Satan, as
I
they say.
I beg you to put
Lucifer literally fell from the heavens.
Exactly.
There we go.
Now hold on to that question.
Okay.
This gets into the child trafficking. sort of Satanist agenda, if you will, that dovetails perfectly, if you think about it, with the reptilian agenda and the reptoids, and what they're doing to take over Earth here, and having to do with, sucking the energy of humans, killing humans for food, using their, our juices for aphrodisiacs, et cetera. And
that's what sperm banks are really about.
Kinds
or sperm in the lattes.
You know, sacrificial types, exercises. All of this is a combination of the, as I say, the agenda of the Satanists and the agenda of the reptoids that does completely coincide. The reptoids being the more, you might say, Nazi side of things, and the Satanists being the more vampiric.
This is Alex Jones shit. This is globalist stuff. This is exactly what Alex believes about the globalists, that they are heavily invested in child trafficking and drinking your kids' blood.
Of course.
And what have you.
Why is it that all crazy people are crazy in the dumb way?
And it seems very similar ways.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's all archaic anti-Semitism.
Of course.
It's blood libel.
Here's the other thing.
This is it. That's all. That's why they, like, that's why Kerry Cassidy and Alex Jones, who appear on paper to be very different. She is exposing the secret space program and spider leadership and what have you.
Right.
Alex Jones thinks that there's a war against white dudes, and we gotta stand up for our virility. And the reason that they can come together is because the villains that they've chosen, in the case of Kerry Cassidy, it's reptoids and, all that. In Alex Jones's case, he calls them globalists.
Yeah.
The defining characteristics that they give to those people and their motivations are based on archaic anti-Semitism that is all like old-timey propaganda,
yeah,
that was used to demonize and slaughter Jews. And that's why she's super cool with having someone like Robert David Steele on her show.
Yeah.
So if there are people out there who don't know what...
Further proof, however, that the reptoids are actually the good guys, because in real life, Satanists are the good guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every Church of Satan is always about, hey, let's be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you guys out there don't know what blood libel is,
you are living in a happier world.
The blood libel originated in medieval England with the death of William of Norwich. William was a 12-year-old tanner's apprentice who was killed in 1144. At the time of his death, the parents accused the local Jewish community of responsibility, but investigations revealed nothing. 6 years later, Thomas of Monmouth, a Benedictine monk, decided to investigate and sensationalize the murder. Drawing purely on anti-Semitic hearsay and sensationalism, he wrote a martyrdom account, The Life and Miracles of William of Norwich, in which he said the local Jews, acting as a part of an international conspiracy, crucified the young boy as part of a ritual to reclaim control of the Holy Land.
Heard that one before.
From Alex. Monmouth's work was used to garner financial support from pilgrimages to the boy's grave and laid the foundations for the blood libel. Similar stories crop up throughout Europe in the Middle Ages, often accompanied by episodes of violence and retaliation towards Jews. Stories of mob lynchings and illegal trials abound, especially during the Crusades, when these stories were used to justify pogroms. In the case of the disappearance of 2-year-old Simon of Trent in March 1475, the entire Jewish community was arrested and 15 men burned at the stake after being forced to confess under torture. Until 1965, Simon of Trent was regarded as a saint by the Catholic Church. Throughout history, the
great-great-grandson of Simon of Trent?
Trent
Jim
Reznor?
Miniman.
Oh. Throughout history, the specifics of the blood libel varied and expanded. It primarily involved the baking of Christian blood in Passover matzah, but early accounts also occasionally describe the crucifixion of children, the poisoning of wells, and the use of Christian blood to heal cuts from circumcision. It should go without saying that these lurid stories and all their manifestations are patently untrue.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. So the thing that is important there is this all this stuff. Like, Alex does it on his show. Carrie does it on her show. The idea that these evil forces, yeah, whatever they may be, want your kids and they want to drink their blood. All that sort of stuff. Use them in rituals.
Right.
That all dates back to this blood libel.
It's all demagoguery that's built around mob mentality.
Cause it's very, it's effective.
It's an attractive proposition to be able to blame everything on a group.
Yeah.
Because then you have a very clear-cut enemy, and once you defeat that enemy, all of your problems go away.
Yeah.
So no matter how many problems you have, you never have to actually deal with them. Yeah. You can always just blame them on somebody else.
Yeah, and
it's an abdication of personal responsibility that is mind-boggling.
Well, and in this column I've been reading from, has another point about that. It's like, these accusations are effective because they strike at the heart of society's fears about outsiders.
Yeah.
They involve the most vulnerable, children, the destruction of public resources, wells, or the presence of secret organizations in society's midst. So the other thing there that we bring in, along with the blood libel, is the poisoning of wells.
Yeah.
That's another format of archaic anti-Semitism. And, I mean, who knows if we can find a great example of Kerry Cassidy doing it, but fucking can't get better than the fluoride in the water narrative.
Nope.
The idea that the globalists are putting fluoride in the water is 100% the grandchild, much like Jim Sumivan,
there we go,
of the idea that Jews would go around and poison wells in order to kill Christians. It's completely nonsensical. And Alex bases all of it on this Harvard study that he always goes back to. He always says, there's a Harvard study that came out. It drops the IQ and what have you.
Yep, yep.
I did a little bit of looking into that. And what it turns out is this was a 2012 study of studies. There were some people, a couple researchers at Harvard that compiled 27 studies that had already been done about fluoride. But they were all from China. All of the studies were from China. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with China, but it is to say that the rates at which they have fluoride in the water, very different than American.
Yeah.
The people who did the study came out and said, this is not applicable in America.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the rates of water fluoridation here. And in fact, everybody at Harvard, every professor of medicine and dentistry and all that shit, all of them came out and said that they support water fluoridation.
Right. And so these guys did a meta-analysis of all of these studies, and then they were like, hey, America has the right level of fluoride in their water.
Right.
And maybe don't go too far with fluoride.
While accepting that there is a scientific reality that if you have too much,
right,
it can,
if you have a crazy amount, if you have a crazy amount of anything in your water, it's probably not going to go well for you.
Also, in their own art, like their paper that Alex Jones cites all the time, this passage appears. Each of these articles reviewed had deficiencies, in some cases rather serious ones, that limit the conclusions that can be drawn. That's in the paper that Alex is trying to say, this is all the this is proof the globalists are trying to poison your children.
Right.
And the reason he does that is because of archaic anti-Semitism, which goes back to why he's so swayed by the protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Yeah.
And his worldview is based on it, and so is Kerry fucking Cassidy. Sick and tired of these goddamn anti-Semites.
Why do people,
they're everywhere.
Leave the Jews alone.
Right.
What else do we gotta do?
I don't.
It's so frustrating because, again, you go back 500 years. You go back to the medieval ages and you hear the same dumb shit that you do now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's 2017.
That's what I'm saying.
The year begins with a 2.
If you guys want to keep this up, like this anti-Semitism stuff, fucking get creative.
Stop giving InfoWars advice, Dan.
Switch it up, baby. Don't do this blood libel poisoning the well shit. Come up with something new. I don't know how you would. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah,
let's
our job is criticism, not providing solutions.
My point that Kerry Cassidy and Alex Jones both live in the same archaic anti-Semitism well and they refuse to get out of it, I think has been made.
Absolutely.
And now let's jump back into something fun.
There are other races such as the, you would say the mantis beings or mantids.
Of course.
And also there are some dragon moths.
I don't know why.
Is another race that has come to the fore. A lot of the races are even unknown, and I would say that's true of the secret space program as well.
Not sure what that sentence means.
All right, so we got mantis people.
Mantids.
We got dragon moths, because why not?
I got to be honest. That's my favorite thing ever.
What's a dragon moth?
Dragon moths.
Is a dragon moth a real thing?
I mean, what do you think? I don't mean that to be as aggressive as it came out, but what the fuck do you think that they're real?
Why can't no, I mean, we have mantises. Those are real.
Hashtag not all dragon moths.
No, mantises are real, so she's just doing an extraterrestrial mantis.
Wow.
So dragon moths, there could be a dragon moth. It could be a regular thing.
Do you mean like maybe just like a
just like a regular moth, but it's called a dragon moth.
I misunderstood.
I don't believe that dragon moths are actually coming to us from outer space.
I misunderstood the question. Dragon moths very well might be real.
Okay.
I don't know. But
I do appreciate her, her trick. As opposed to Alex Jones, she does not provide over examples.
No.
She goes, mantids, dragon moths, etc. You got it. You got the game after that. What else is there to say? But once you get mantids and dragon moths, the whole game is up.
Right. We already have spider leadership that's in play.
Could be
now
fucking anything.
We've got dragon moth beings. Yeah. We got mantis creatures.
We've got some ethereals.
We're heavy on bugs, I'll be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Get creative.
Right.
What else do we got? I want to go with the caterpillar evil race. They crystallize later. Like, maybe the entire Earth. The Earth's core.
You're still on bugs, bro.
The Earth's core is actually caterpillar silk. And eventually, Earth will explode. Not because of human intervention or climate change, but because the dragon moth finally awoke.
The climate change that we're experiencing is actually friction from him trying to get out of the
absolutely. Oh, of course.
Yeah. That's as reasonable as Congress. So I did some looking into this. I was trying to find moth aliens and what I can learn about them. And there is
you picked up 30 versions of Godzilla versus Mothra.
I have seen that, and like a little bit of trivia. Pharaoh Monch's song, Simon Says, samples the Godzilla versus Mothra theme song in a very aggressive way. I actually got into a big fight about this.
If Blink-182 sampled them, then we know it's been there since the beginning.
I got into a big fight about this. A couple people have said in the past that it's just the Godzilla march. It's not. It's specifically the one from Mothra. And I do know that for a fact. Everyone can go fly a moth-shaped kite.
A dragon moth-shaped kite.
Right.
I respect that. I'm a little bit worried that you've gotten into multiple fights about this.
Well, it's probably with the same person. My memory is a little hazy.
This could be something that you can let go.
I can't, because I'm right. I will not let go of any Pharaoh Monch or Rex Chapman-related arguments in the future.
Fair.
So I looked into this, and I found an encyclopedia of alien races.
Good.
And I found actually some interesting stuff.
Okay.
So there's the Mothman. That, you know, people are going all hog wild about there being a Mothman in Chicago.
Of course.
So that's hot. That's a hot topic.
There we go.
So, the Mothman are largely subterranean, pterodactyloid-like humans with bat-like wings.
So they're not really related to moths at all.
Not really. Sometimes they are described as possessing horns and thus, considered very similar to the traditional depiction of the devil, according to certain individuals who have encountered them. Although often referred to as Mothman, the title might be a little misleading.
Well, I was misled.
Also, Mothmen are considered Draco aliens.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
The leader elite of the reptilians are the Draco. They even have special wings, which are flaps of skin supported by long ribs. These can be folded back against the body. They're also known as the dragon race, and their symbology usually includes the winged serpent.
Well, it's from Draco, guys. Come on.
They're also known as the Mothmen. There are elements of their species that do not have wings, the soldier class of the species, and the, quote, scientists. So, the dragon moth is fun, but she's really just describing Dracos as a different name.
Yeah.
She talks about Dracos. That's not new. It's exciting.
Disappointment.
Also, based on the fact that they're in Chicago, might be real.
That's true.
Might be real.
That's possible.
And this might be what she thinks of when she thinks of the devil, because they're often described as devil.
Okay. All right. So Satanists, perhaps don't worship Satan, they worship worship the Draco.
The dragon moths of Draco.
The dragon, oh boy.
Yeah.
We're digging in too deep here.
Yeah. And I don't actually think they're real. But in this next clip, Carrie lists off a bunch of fake technologies that she has uncovered.
If you reveal the ability to tap into things like what in essence is being talked about, things like, you know, energy from water, certainly plasma physics and free, what is called free energy or zero point energy. Mm-hmm. So there is so much out there. Right. All disease could be healed. And
this is Randy Kramer the regenerative med beds.
All your problems are somebody else's fault.
Our age, the amount of time we live, could be extended indefinitely, et cetera. So it's an endless, amount of things that are going on again in the secret space program.
In almost no time of paying attention to her, we have been able to figure out where these narratives come from, track down the sources of them, and find how bogus they are. Between, like, in that clip, she's talking about Hal Pudoff, who we talked about earlier in this episode,
yep,
and Randy Kramer with the regenerative med beds that he still has a GoFundMe up for.
When are we gonna get into Jim Minivan? That's our headliner, man.
I gotta be honest. Jim Minivan is
no longer in play?
He's in play, but I don't know anything about him. He might not be real. Quite frankly.
What if Carrie Cassidy is right?
Well, I could...
For once, Carrie gets it right.
I did Google and look for Jim Minivan, and all I can find is he wrote a foreword to a book where he claims to have worked for the CIA for 25 years, but okay. I don't know if that's true.
All right.
I don't know anything about the man. I have no idea.
If you don't know anything about the man, that supports his claim that he works for the CIA.
And also, I'd like to have him hang out with Jim Photoglow, musician Jim Photoglow and Jim Semivan hanging out together.
Yep.
The Jims.
How many people work for the secret space program? Their infrastructure must be insane.
It's gotta be,
cause they're doing everything.
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 And it's complex work.
And if there's so many of them, how is it that it hasn't gotten out? Like, there has to be a whole... Oh. There has to be whole planned communities built around the secret space program.
I think our next episode is probably going to be about Andrew Basiago. The next time we dip into Project Camelot, I was listening to a lecture that he gave the other day, and it's fucking wild stuff. His origin story is that when he was a kid, his dad, who may or may not have been a little bit of a booze guy, he showed him a paper. And he's like, you write this in 40 years. It came back in time. You have to study this in order for him to write it in the future. He's like, holy shit. And then he gets into time traveling with Barack Obama. Back when his name was Barry Satoru. It's great.
All right.
Andrew Basiago's,
that's wild.
He's a lot of fun.
That's wild shit.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So, anyway, what was the point there?
I think it's Semi-fan. That there is infinite life that's possible. Mm-hmm. Point energy.
Pudoff.
Hydro energy, which I like to describe as hydroelectric energy provided to us from dams.
I think she's saying that you can just have like some water like right here on the table.
And it powers everything.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's what she's getting at.
All right.
I'm not entirely sure.
What about whale oil? How does she feel about whale oil?
Blubber?
Yeah.
She's into it.
Can that power everything?
It's a conspiracy.
Or do the reptoids eat it?
The reptoids, suckle on it.
So okay. Now we just explained the whole Japanese whaling situation.
100%.
They're absolutely feeding the reptoids.
And clubbing baby seals.
Of course.
Why would anybody do that except to feed raptors?
They're too cute.
Totally. So, now we take a turn into current events because she said she was going to get into current events and has not yet really at all.
Very Alex Jonesian.
Mm-hmm.
I can also say that for background to this information I'm giving you, you must watch all of the Project Camelot interviews, especially with what are called whistleblowers. And, those cross many disciplinary areas. And so what you can do is learn a great deal by adding and connecting the dots. And this is really all I'm doing.
Dots.
It's not rocket science. It's quite easy to do. But what I find is that most people out there, regardless of how much study they do, and this includes my so-called colleagues in this sector Whoa. Do not have the ability to connect the dots because they are not paying attention, especially to some of the most important witnesses out there.
Like a
murderer. And that has to do with, obviously, people like William Tompkins, people like Mark Richards, Captain Mark Richards, who I've interviewed in prison now seven times.
Gotta use his honorific.
And those interviews are available
Show
in Project
respect. Camp.
Quick reminder, she believes that he has a personified spaceship named Minerva that he flies around in space and hangs out with raptors who will kill you for chocolate.
Yeah.
Camelot. And many, many more.
But
in other words, if you're not following
the
story
and
connecting the dots, the through line from the beginning of the story until now, then you don't understand what is happening. You do not understand what is going on when the Illuminati decide to conduct a false flag operation, when they decide to test a weapon, such as they are doing in Northern California, when they decide to clear off certain areas of ground, sort of a slash and burn mentality, which is what they've done in a portion of Santa Rosa area. In other words, you do not understand the bigger picture. You don't understand why they're doing this. And so you can't even believe that they are doing it, that it's being orchestrated.
She just said nothing.
Why are they doing it?
She doesn't say. To clearing off land? But here's the thing.
She's mixing a lot of metaphors and then also at the same time confusing, like, these so-called people.
Right.
Who have, what you would call stuff to do.
Uh-huh.
Who do things like what you would call, going outside.
Uh-huh.
Like, no, you don't need to pad with so many words. Like,
right.
we can use language.
It's tough. It's tough.
What you need to do is connect the dots. Add the dots, figure out what the through line is there, go back, look, see if there are more dots, and if you can't connect those dots, you don't even know why fires happen, Dan.
At this point...
Fire is a false flag by the Illuminati.
At this point, I don't know what a dot is, quite frankly. And hey, here's a dot I've connected.
What?
Archaic anti-Semitism. So there's that, Carrie. Why don't you study a little bit?
Weird.
So the problem that comes into this, like with the idea of these fires being like a false flag or a laser weapon or whatever to clear off land and what have you, it's going to fall apart pretty tremendously when everything gets rebuilt. You know, that argument is probably not very valid. That, like, you know, clearing off the land when it just gets reused,
but that's
probably
it's,
the exact same way.
Testing the weapon. Also, it works well because it creates jobs. Everybody knows that the best contractors are the spider leadership.
Then there's no doubt.
I mean, they've got so many hands.
So many.
They can spin their own wood.
Right.
I assume if they're that much larger, then they stopped with silk and they started going straight to 2x4s.
Undoubtedly.
Of course.
And stucco. Drywall.
Those are the baby spiders.
Right. Baby spiders
are start with drywall.
Right. And then you get a little bit older and you can start spinning brick.
Right.
You become
a
mason spider.
Right. Right. Of course.
So that, she doesn't believe.
The Dracos provide, of course, cardboard.
Blood.
Yep.
So in the,
concrete.
She doesn't believe that the fires are real or legitimate. And in this next clip, she gets into something else, that she doesn't believe.
Vegas is a controlled situation, that it was orchestrated, that it was not a lone gunman, that Paddock is by all appearances a what we call a Manchurian candidate, a patsy, and it's even possible that he never even fired a gun, and so on. So we've got to look below the surface in a deeper way than what's going on YouTube right now. People have to start understanding that our military has been fighting with various races of ETs behind the scenes, and that these ETs have the ability to wipe the minds and to disconnect your consciousness
Dots.
In such a way that you do not recall seeing them. And this goes for soldiers
minivan
on a battlefield, whether it's Vietnam
Paddock
with the spider beings.
Minivan.
You can watch my prior shows to see more about that.
Or
whether it's the reptoids who are building stargates in the Middle East
stargates!
And who are the reason there is a constant battle going on in the Middle East at least partially, because they are very much
That's
there.
What the Iran deal was really about.
ISIS is at their beck and call.
God damn it.
ISIS is reporting to
them
by way of the CIA. And you must understand that the CIA has many loyalties.
One of which is to aliens.
Yeah.
ISIS is controlled by aliens.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That makes as much sense as anything else.
Sure.
I mean, look, really, let's face it. There are very obvious, like, it's just that this seems so far out there, but is there any difference between saying that it's aliens or God?
Not really.
It's the same shit. Is this any dumber? Is saying that Minerva is your flying spaceship any dumber than a congressman holding up a snowball and saying climate change isn't real?
It's not
These
really.
These are all dumb people, and they're just dumb in different ways.
But hear me out on this.
We're just more familiar with certain types of crazy.
Right, but the rationalizations for religion are much more simple. They're usually, you know, you could fall back on God works in mysterious ways and stuff like that, and that's good enough. Whereas she's got to come up with, like, Byzantine organizations in order to rationalize ISIS being controlled by aliens.
I mean, yeah, but you got angels and you got all of that shit. Like, it all goes back to people wanting to believe in
there's
magic.
There's some admin. Don't get me wrong. Even in religion, there's some admin work you got to do.
Okay, I got you.
But it the reason that this seems so stupid and is much more amusing is because of the need to explain things, or else people will be like,
right,
you're making this up.
But see, that's what happens now because
there's
science.
There's no God whistleblower. You know what I'm saying?
Are you kidding me?
I guess there are people who had, like, near-death
experiences. So many God whistleblowers.
So, yeah.
What are you talking about? They're not presented as such. So this is what happened whenever science actually worked. Like, this is the issue with all of these crazy people. And it's the same thing that happens with God people now trying to explain why evolution isn't real.
Right.
They have to go into, like, oh, these were planted by God to test your faith. Like, they have to go through all of these different, ever more complicated explanations in order to justify the belief in something stupid.
Right.
Rather than just be like, oh, we figured it out? Ugh, that's boring.
Yeah.
Even though it's an incredibly exciting and magical thing that we know stuff, it has to be ridiculous.
Well, see, that you're expressing something that I think you'll agree with what Carrie says at the beginning of this next clip.
You gotta follow the dots?
No.
You gotta connect the circles of dots with a three.
No, I think you'll agree with the first sentence of this, and then everything else, no.
Okay.
And so getting the truth out is really, a vote for health of the human race. And they are in great need of healing at this time, needless to say.
Wonderful.
So, that's what really the effort is
and
in
the
part here to raise awareness, to have people understand that if there are battles going on eons with the Anunnaki.
Oh boy.
In the Middle East and other races, and why we are at odds with Iran and the races that Iran is associated with, and why we are actually already at war with North Korea, because North Korea has been backed by a certain ET race, and our real war is with that ET race and not necessarily the North Koreans. So this is what we have to start to understand.
So, I mean, if you just take away the alien race and put globalists in there, it's largely the same thing. It's so boring on one level.
I'm somehow becoming offended that she's racist against imaginary things.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, racism is bad even if it's made up?
It is weird.
Like, doesn't that follow?
The hard bias against certain alien races.
Yeah, right?
It's a little weird.
That's frustrating to me.
It's not frustrating to me. It rolls off me like water off a duck. But it just...
I know it's low on issues. I know it's low on our list of problems.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you shouldn't be racist anyways.
I agree.
Like, maybe, Carrie, if you acknowledge that all of these people are individuals. Perhaps that's the way to start healing.
Oh, no,
you know,
no,
maybe
no,
not,
no,
maybe,
no.
Maybe raptors are not one monolithic block. Maybe these are people. Maybe it's the spider leadership that's the issue.
Not the
spiders. Yeah. It's not that we're at war with North Korea. We're at war with North Korea's government. The North Korean people are wonderful people and we should not dehumanize them and say that they're just part of it.
I honestly think that might be what she's trying to express in some way or another. The idea that the dictatorship that's in place in North Korea is alien to peaceful coexistence and to the world working.
Okay.
I don't think that she understands that might be what she's trying to say because she really believes that there are aliens pulling the strings.
Right.
And what
right.
have you.
So, of course.
I don't know.
But again, it's she's so...
You know what? Here it is. I mean, what it comes down to is the world is fucking rough. It's rough out there right now.
It is rough out there.
And it's complicated. It's very difficult to accept in the case of like the Las Vegas shooting that someone would do that.
Right.
It's really tough to believe that there is a potential within humanity to be a dictator and oppress your people. There is a potential within humans to have centuries long conflicts regionally between ethnic groups or between different populations.
Right.
Like, it is possible. That is what we come from. That's the roots of humanity. That's not, like, aliens making us do it, but it's so much more comforting to say, oh, it's aliens.
Well,
they did
it
because it's fucking tough to realize, like, but for the grace of God, that could be you, you know, doing all these things.
Possible.
Circumstances could be that, like, you know, you're born differently.
In the infinite multiverse, there is an episode of this podcast where A, I know everything about Alex Jones and you don't know anything about Alex Jones.
Right.
Or B, I know everything about raptors and you don't know anything about raptors.
You're Mark Richards in an alternate universe.
Of course. I've thought about hiring people to kill things.
Right. I mean, look.
I haven't.
No, I know. I was just trying to move on.
Yeah.
This is just a pathetic comfort blanket
in
many ways. In the same way that, like, you know, a lot of these dudes, I think they ended up living not great lives, not the lives that they wanted to. And so they come up with a robust backstory.
Yeah.
And it's much more comforting to say I was a secret soldier for 50 years protecting the Solar Guardian or whatever. And then miraculously I was put back into my 18-year-old body 15 minutes later.
Right.
As opposed to saying like, well, I've had some dead end jobs and I'm not really all that interesting. I made it to middle management and, I mean, here I am. I'm single at 50, and you know, I guess I like Star Trek. So I mean, I have some passions in my life, but I have amounted to not really anything that changes the world. It's much more fun to say the other bike story.
Well, that's how what's his face became king of America. The guy in San Francisco.
What are you talking about?
You didn't know
we have a king.
So in San Francisco, I want to say in, the early or like the mid 1800s, there was a guy who's just like, America needs a king. And so he declared himself king of America.
I'm going to hear this guy.
And eventually he became a famous, so what he would do is he was like a panhandler,
right?
But he would give out his own money to people in exchange for human money, I suppose, is what you would call it. And
he's
when he died,
he wasn't a hobo; he was a currency exchange.
He just declared himself king. And when he died, there was a huge procession, and like 20,000 people came out to watch.
Awesome.
He became a national celebrity, or at least a San Francisco celebrity.
Yeah,
and it was fucking bananas. So sometimes creating this fantasy world shakes out. I don't know.
In Columbia, Missouri, there was a guy who declared himself king as well.
Yes.
There's a transient gentleman, street drunk, as it were. And he had a Burger King crown, and he declared himself the king of Columbia.
All right.
And
I like that.
The police routinely would just take him out to the city line. What would it be called? Just the border of Columbia.
Yeah.
And drop him off and just be like, go to another town.
Become king of wherever you want to.
Right.
Not here.
We don't have charges to press, but get out.
Just stop being king of Colombia.
Right. And I disagreed with that that policy quite a bit. I think that's very cruel.
Absolutely.
But be that as it may, I don't know.
Maybe if you treated him like a king, he would have become a king.
I think a lot of people did. A lot of people would, bow.
Absolutely.
A lot of people were like, how's it going, king?
Right.
It's great.
I don't know, man.
So we got one more.
Humans are fucked up.
We got one more clip here, and we started the show by Carrie explaining that Robert David.
And I can say that because I'm a reptoid.
Sure. Robert David Steele couldn't make it today.
Uh-huh.
So, and then we get to close it up by her talking about him.
The fact that Robert David Steele was unable to join me on this broadcast, in spite of the fact that I sent him this information before the broadcast, he was in full consciousness about it. However, he got direction from outside, one can imagine. Knowing that he is a member of a certain group and he is himself working as a good guy, really, to disclose certain information, but he has found that the, as we say, the secret space, the real story about the ET intervention here on planet Earth, is something that he's not allowed to elaborate on in spite of the fact that he did go on Alex Jones and allude to it. And he never backed off what he stated, which is that he understood there to be 10,000 humans on Mars who were never coming home, some of whom were sent there as children. So this is the kind of information that if you do not put that together with things like the fires in Northern California,
which obviously
the fact that that is a directed energy weapon, it appears that it may be a laser based directed energy weapon.
Great.
Maybe the issue is that it's not a directed energy weapon. It's just a wildfire.
Right. Caused by a drought, a years long drought, drying everything out.
Yeah.
I mean, these wildfires that end up happening, they're usually from somebody accidentally, you know, setting a fire.
Right.
Or camping. Or lightning strikes in the forest. Any of these things.
Yeah, they're a legitimate part of the ecosystem. Like, we wouldn't have sequoia trees if it weren't for wildfires.
Right.
Like, there is
it's natural.
There's a reason that we contain them, not, like, try and destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we can't contain these
anymore
because of our doing.
It's not a laser.
Yeah.
But Robert David Steele's a good dude.
Yeah. It seems like, I feel like that support, her, what she just said supports my theory of he was like, nah,
man.
Yeah. Cause if she sent him the information that she wanted to talk about, he would have read that and been
Dragon
like,
Dragon
Moss. Dude, that's too far even for me.
Yeah.
Robert David Steele.
I have some things I'm still trying to do.
Yeah.
I can't come along on this ride with you, Carrie.
Not just that, but like, whoa, lady, you are nuts.
Yeah. I don't know.
There are 10,000 people on Mars, but come on, dragon moths, get the fuck out of here.
I mean, the Mars base, we take that as red.
Yeah, you know, of like, course.
That's understood.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
But yeah, so I mean.
The secret space program isn't that powerful.
No. Robert David Steele, I am pretty comfortable saying that he, is at least fairly, dubious, and probably anti-Semitic. I don't want to say out and out that he is, just because, you know. I don't think that, I think it's.
He's trying to skirt the line of anti-Semitism.
He's playing games.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is because he holds some beliefs that are not true.
He's attracting and perhaps courting anti-Semitists.
Yes.
But not necessarily diving whole hog into it.
Right. And one of them that he's courting is unfortunately Kerry Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not the clip that we played at the top of the show is as damning, as, you know, it feels.
Right.
The rest of the stuff, the worldview, the blood libel, that sort of stuff is clearly indicative of what she believes.
And it is also prevalent on our boy Alex Jones.
100%.
So if you want, and that's another one of those things, like, just like Alex, Robert David Steele insists he's not anti-Semitic.
Right.
I'm anti-Zionist. Call it differently. Don't do that. Or Alex, no, I'm starting a debate. I'm not blanketly agreeing with these people, even though amongst all of the clips that we have, he goes, yeah, I know, totally. You're absolutely right.
I agree, but I don't agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, David Duke, you are often right about everything, and I have nothing to disagree with you about. But I'm just starting a debate.
David Duke, I don't really agree with you, but it's just you have your words wrong.
Yeah.
You just have your words slightly
wrong. Yeah, yeah. Don't say Druze, say globalists.
It's whack. And a lot of this stuff, if there was better evidence for some of the stuff, Like, cause it's not impossible that someone ever drank blood or something like that. And it's not impossible that, like, I've seen.
Hey, I've had blackout weekends. Who knows?
I've seen Batman Begins. I know that there's, like.
What's his fucking face?
The Scarecrow. There's a possibility that someone would poison a water supply.
Absolutely.
Like, those sorts of things are conceivably possible, but you have to have better evidence. You have to have a better, It has to be more real, or else you're operating off these archaic beliefs that are just bigotry. So congratulations, Alex Jones. Congratulations, Carrie Cassidy. You guys live in a world that's been shaped by lies from the 1400s. Congratulations.
Wow. How is it that humans are still so shitty?
We're dumb.
At being people.
I don't know.
Like, we're so bad at it.
You know, there are a lot of people who aren't shitty at being humans. And those are the people who donate to our show. I'd like to thank everyone who's donated, and we'll give specific policy wonk shout-outs on the next episode. But if you'd like to become a policy wonk, you can do that. You can support the show by going to knowledgefight.com, which is our website, and clicking the support the show button.
We will be putting that 1991 dunk contest behind the paywall on the website. It's under the special
Rex
content banner.
Chapman.
Absolutely.
It's the truth.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows
this. This has been a years-long cover-up.
Yep. By the Raptors.
By the Raptors.
The Toronto Raptors.
God damn it, you got there first. Fuck you.
I know a little bit about basketball. So you can also follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
Look us up on Facebook.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You're doing it now.
I gotta. You've won me over.
Yay.
Absolutely. Death by attrition, my friend.
Yeah. Also, we're on iTunes. And please subscribe, rate, and review the show. It does help people find us, and we would appreciate it.
Please do.
But beyond that.
You know, there's one person I know isn't a raptor.
Okay.
He's not a reptoid.
Okay.
Might be a dragonmoth, but I don't know about that yet. Definitely not a mantid.
No.
Could be an ethereal.
I don't think anything about this guy is
ethereal.
That's
possible. Yeah. That's possible. But beyond that, even though he's not one of those ETs, even though he's not one of those ETs that are ruining everything, even though he doesn't have any directed laser weapons,
no.
I'll tell you what.
What?
He can still go fuck himself. So John Rappaport, go fuck yourself.
May the wolf choke on your flesh.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.